Kings chapter 17. Out of respect for God's word, let's stand. First Kings chapter 17, starting verse number 8. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee unto Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went unto Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a curse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal did not, neither did the curse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We just pray now that we might get something out of this message. I know it's a message mainly for mothers, but I think if we all listen intently that we'll get something out of it, we can use it for our own lives. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. Be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is A Mother's Foresight. There we go. I got that on yet? Yeah, there we go. A Mother's Foresight. And Elijah was a man of God. He did as God commanded him to do, and God always supplies for those he loves. God always supplies, it seems like, for whenever we need what we need. Today I'm going to be preaching mainly to the mothers, but I feel that everybody can get something out of this if you listen intently. If you listen intently to what I have to say, I think each and every one of us can go home and say, you know what, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. If we go back to verse 1 of chapter 17, we see that Elijah went to King Ahab, told him that there's going to be a drought in the land. He said, "Now I want you to understand something. There's not going to be any rain upon the land until I tell it to rain." Then if you go into verses 2 through 7, you'll see Elijah had been told to go to the brook Cherith, and to hide there. Now, the brook Cherith was out in the middle of the desert. It was in an area that nobody ever traveled. And so Elijah went there, and he went by this little brook, and that's where he had camp. And he made camp there, and he was there for many days. And here we see that he was also fed by ravens. How many of you know what a raven is? How many have ever eaten anything delivered by a raven? I haven't either, because you know why? They eat everything. In fact, if you maybe drove down the road and see them out in the middle of the road having roadkill. Now, as I was doing this, I got to thinking a little bit about Elijah. Now, here every morning and every night, here comes these ravens with meat in their mouth. Where did they get the meat? Oh, wait a minute. That was one that the chariot hit. No, you know what I mean? But, you know, things like that kind of enter my mind a little bit. I'm wondering where they came up with enough roadkill to take and give him meat every night that God supplied for him every morning and every night. And he ate off of the ravens for a long time. If you go into verses 8 and 9, we see that God told Elijah to go to Zarephath and to dwell there. Zarephath was a small town. It wasn't very large. And he said to him, he says, you go there, and I want you to stay in Zarephath. I don't want you to leave Zarephath. I want you to stay there because Ahab won't be able to find you. You go there, and you'll be in safety. Now, when Elijah entered the city, he did just exactly what God told him to. God told him, he said, now you go there, and you're going to find a widow woman there in Zarephath. Now, when Elijah entered the city, he found the widow woman. She was right there gathering sticks. This widow woman had no husband to support her. This widow woman was poor because women of that day did not go out and do too much manual labor. Men usually did the manual labor. Women did the household things and that. And so here we see that she was very poor. She had no one to support her. She had no family other than her son. This woman was probably getting her food by maybe going out and gleaning in the fields. If you remember the story of Ruth, how Ruth would go out in the fields after they were done in the middle, and they always left the outside of the fields for the poor to take and gather, and that's where Ruth went out. More than likely, this is what this widow woman did. If she would get up early in the morning, she'd go out and she'd gather as much as she could. But remember, there's a drought. There's a famine in the land. There is no food to gather. So here we see that this widow woman had nothing really to gather. She had probably no food at all. Now, when the drought hit and there was no grain there, you know, more than likely she had to go from house to house trying to find where she could pick up some food. But you know, in verse 11, I want to read that again. It says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of food. You know, this woman, this mother, was called to do something. She was called to do something. Elijah wanted her to get him something to eat and to drink. Now, on a normal day, this wouldn't be bad. She probably would say, okay, yeah, I can do that. I'm going to fix for us. I'll just fix a little more for you. Elijah had walked about 20 miles with no water, and he was thirsty. You know, all he had to eat was what the birds had brought him. And he wanted a home-cooked meal. Amen? Yeah, let's get some chicken. Let's get some mashed potatoes, gravy. You know, let's have a home-cooked meal. Amen? You know, this widow woman had some objections, though, to the request that Elijah made. Verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the curse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You know, here we see that she had a little bit of an objection. After all, here she is. She's all by herself. She has nobody to support her. No one. She has no husband, and I believe her child was too young to work. And here's the two of them living in this house, and a complete stranger goes up to her and says, hey, can you give me something to drink? After I've walked for 20 miles and I'm dying of thirst, the brook had dried up. There was no water in the brook. Elijah didn't have anything to drink. More than likely, he was really thirsty. He says, can you go fetch me a little water? And then, oh, by the way, on your way, can you stop at home and make me something to eat? Now, I don't know about you, but if I was starving to death, I had just enough food for myself and my child, one more meal, and I had a complete stranger that I did not know come to me and say, would you mind giving me something to eat first? I might have an objection too. I think most of us would, wouldn't we? After all, it's just you and your son, and you're going to eat what you have left over, and you're going to die. Yeah, I would have a little objection to what was going on. You know, now she could see, had seen other women who are widows who had died from the lack of food. No doubt she had seen other children who had starved to death. You know, she knew what the outcome of her life was going to be. She had seen it happen all around her. She had no husband, no support, no family to help out, no church that could take and help her out. There was no welfare at that time, no food stamps. In fact, I don't think there was even a food bank in the area. No government assistance. All she was facing was certain death. That's just what she was facing. She was facing certain death. There was no way out of what she was facing. Not one thing. You know, this widow woman may have raised a good son. You know, she may have been a very good mother. And it sounds like she was. After all, she was going to look out for her and her son. She now has nothing to look forward to other than death. She feels as if the end of her life, or the end of her rope, is coming very quickly. There's no one else to turn to. She has nowhere to go, no one to turn to, or no one who really cares about her situation. She's prepared to eat her last meal and die. You know, I believe this woman may have known God. Otherwise, I don't think God might have used her. And I believe that, you know, many times she may have even prayed and asked God to help out in the situation. But how many times do mothers feel this way? That they're at the end of their rope. You know, nothing is going the way they should, that it should. You know, I've been saved for a period of time, and there shouldn't be any longer any bumps in the road. Amen? As soon as we get saved, God should repave the road. Amen? No more bumps, no more chuck holes, no nothing. You know what I mean? Isn't that the way Christian life is? You have no more problems after you get saved? You know, I don't know about you. I've been saved for quite a few years. And, but I've always had problems. Always. God's always seen me through them. But, you know what? Problems always pop up. And, you know, I think that this is the way this woman thought, too. You know, I believe that she says, you know what? She says, life is not a bunch of roses. It's got thorns in it. It's tough to take in and work. It's tough to raise a family. You know, many people will take and sit back and say, well, why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve what you've put in front of me to get through? You know, this isn't the way it was supposed to be. I did not figure that bad would ever come to me. And many people sit and they have a pity party. That's what I call it. A pity party. They go, oh, poor me. Oh, nobody. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? We sit there and we wallow in our self-pity. Yeah, this widow woman may have prayed every day that God would somehow spare her and her son. She may have been on her knees night and day begging God for some miracle that they could stay alive. She may not have been as concerned for herself as she was for her young son. You know, mothers need to be on their knees, don't you? Mothers need to be on their knees praying for their children. I think that's one of the biggest downfalls we have in the world today, not just this nation, but in the world, is mothers who do not get on their knees enough to pray for their children. I can remember growing up, my grandmother lived with us for a few years, and every morning she had a routine. This was her routine. She would get up, she would put the water on the stove to boil, and then she went in and she sat down and she read her Bible. Then she would turn around and she would get on her knees and she started praying. One day, I snuck up to see what she was praying for. You know what she was praying for? She was praying for every one of her children. Every one of her grandchildren. She was there praying that God would give them a good day. Then she would get up, pour herself a cup of hot water. Nothing in it, just hot water. And she would drink that. And I don't know why she liked hot water so much. But anyway, but she always prayed for her children. You know, mothers need to be on their knees praying for their kids. You know, we need to beg God to spare them from the world that's out there. We need to pray that God would put a hedge of protection around them. Keep them away from the wrong crowd, from the drug scene, from the alcohol, from the sex scene, from the rock music, from the dirty websites, and then from dressing like the rest of the world does. We need to pray daily for our kids and guard our kids that God would keep their lives pure and clean before Him. You know, I see that's really neat about her, and that's found in verse 15. Verse 15, it says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. Here we see that she obeyed what she was told to do. And I find that very interesting. I find that here is a woman. She's without her husband. She's without any family. All she has is a small child. And she did as the man of God said to do. Wow. You talk about being obedient. That's obedience. After all, what was she looking at? Sure what? Death. She was going to eat that last cake and die. And yet, she had enough faith that she did according to what Elijah had told her. Even though she may have had some objections of what he had said, even though she may not have fully agreed with what was going to happen, she still obeyed just as she was asked to do. She went into her house. She took that little meal. She mixed it up. She put that little oil in with it that was left. And she made a cornbread for Elijah. Now, as I was going through this, I got to thinking about this a little bit. And as she was making this cake, she went in. How much of that meal did she take? How much did she take out of that barrel?
All of it.
All of it. How much oil did she use?
All of it. all of it. She had absolutely nothing. There was nothing left in the barrel. There was nothing left in the curse of oil. She had absolutely nothing left. She had given the man of God everything she had. Wow.
I got to thinking of the widow put the two mites in when Jesus is at the temple. And Jesus says, I want you guys to look at this. You see all those guys that are putting in all this money in here? That widow woman gave more than all of them because she gave all she had.
Wow! Think about that. Here's this woman with this young son. She goes into this barrel. She scrapes the bottom. I wonder if there's any wood in that cake. Because she scraped the bottom of the barrel and took everything that she had to make that cake. Wow.
Then she took that oil and she poured whatever oil she had left in there. She mixed it all together.
She only had 2 sticks, remember that? She only went and got 2 sticks to make it.
She lit the fire. She put that cornbread in, she baked it, and then she brought it to Elijah. She says, here, this is all I've got. Here. Go ahead and eat. You know, I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, if she was making that, more than likely, she could smell the aroma of that bread being baked. And every time she could smell that, more than likely her stomach growled because she was hungry. She was hungry. More than likely her son may have been in the room too and could smell that and thinking, oh man, we're going to have cornbread for supper. Yeah. How do you think he felt when she took it out? She went over to Elijah and said, here, this is all we have. This is all we have. Even though she was hungry, even though she knew that that was all that was left in that barrel, and there was no more oil left, yet she was obedient to do what she was called to do. How obedient are we, Mom? When God calls us to do something, how do we respond? Do we tell God, well, that's not my favorite thing to do? Don't call my child into the ministry or into the mission field because I want them around for a long time. Don't command me to tithe. Don't command me to be a soul winner. Don't command me to give of my best. I'll give what's left over. You know, I think of this widow in the book of Matthew who gave that widow's mite. Even though she didn't have to, she did. This widow gave to Elijah all that she had. She was commanded to give, and she gave everything that she had. She was called to do something. She obeyed it. And then I love verses 15 and 16. It says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the curse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah.
Wow. Hey, she was rewarded. You know, because she obeyed Elijah and what the man of God said, she was rewarded for her faithfulness. You know, when Elijah came to her, she only had enough meal and enough oil for one meal yet. Right? I can see what happened here. She brings this
cake or this bread to Elijah and says, here, I did as you said I should. I can almost see Elijah's face. I can almost hear his voice say, why don't you go look in the barrel again? Amen? I can almost see him say, why don't you go look in the barrel, see what's in there? So she did. And she opened up the barrel and there's enough in there for another cake. And she opened up the cursed oil and there's the same amount of oil in there that she had been in there when she had made that cake for Elijah. She's going, wow, we're going to have supper. But you know what it says? It says that they had meal and they had oil for many days. I can see it happening. Every morning, she would get up and go to that barrel and open up that barrel, and there was meal in there. There was enough meal in there for her, her son, and Elijah. She went to the cursed of oil and opened up, and there was enough oil in there for the three of them. And this went on day after day after day after day after day. They had just enough for them. Now, think about that for a minute. What would have happened if that barrel would have been full every day? The people would have been breaking down her door to get what she had. But God only gave them enough to make it through until the next day. You know, as I was thinking about this a little bit, I got to thinking, isn't that the way God is? He always gives us enough to make it till the next day. He always gives us enough grace to make it till the next day. She was rewarded. Now they've eaten many days. I feel that could have been a year of oil and meal had never ceased. For a full year, she not only had enough for Elijah, but she also had enough for her and her child, and they didn't die. What a reward for obedience. Every morning, getting up and seeing that there, God had rewarded her for the obedience caring for the man of God. But you know, sometimes when things are going good, bad things happen, don't they? Sometimes when things are going really good, we feel, man, God is really blessing me. After all, let's face it, here's this woman. She was ready to die, her and her son, and yet God supplied for their need every single day. Everything was going so good. They had a roof over their heads. Her son was alive. She was alive. There was food on the table. Then verse 17 happened. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Whoops, that's the wrong one. Let's go back to verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Whoa. It happened. You know, many times in life when we feel things are going so good, all of a sudden, something bad happens. You know, how much worse could you have it than your only son now being dead? You've done everything that you could to live your life for the Lord, and all of a sudden, the rug's pulled out from underneath you, and you're just kind of standing there. You did everything that you were asked to do. You obeyed the Lord and what He wanted you to do. You were rewarded for your efforts. Then all of a sudden, you have the largest hardship that could ever come into one's life. Your only son has been taken from you. You have no husband to lean on. You have no family to lean on.
You have no close friends who you can, that you feel like you can confide in. You're all alone. What will I do? You know, so many times that happens, doesn't it? When all of a sudden we feel things are going really well, then boom, we run into a brick wall. Bang. Nowhere to go. We went, oh, man, now what am I going to do? A bill comes in we weren't expecting. All of a sudden we're going, oh, what am I going to do? But you know, she was a good woman. And I believe she believed in God. Look at verse 18. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Oh, man. Wow. She went to the man of God, didn't she? She took her problems to her preacher. She was not afraid to talk to him about the problems that she had. She knew he might not be able to help, but then again, there's a good possibility. After all, the meal never quit and neither did the oil. She was kind of accusing him of this happening. You know, she went where everybody needs to go for help. You know, preachers are not faith healers. We're not wizards who can cure all ills. Preachers can listen and give sound advice in times of trouble, though. But you know what? A miracle happened. Look at verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom. They carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil against this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched forth himself upon the child three times. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. Man, he's the man of God. He takes the boy up into his own room. He lays him on his bed and he prayed and he cried unto the Lord for this little boy's life. Hey, the man of God was praying and crying for this dead little boy. Now, I don't know about you, but it's pretty hard to bring somebody back from the dead. Amen? I've done it four times where people were actually clinically dead. But I had a defib unit. And it's amazing what happens when you hit somebody with a defib unit after they fall off a cot as you're going down the highway about 90 miles an hour on the way to the hospital. And that happened to me twice. But... You know, what you need to realize is this. It was an impossibility in those days to bring someone back to life. Elijah believed that his God could do all things. After all, what had just happened? Elijah had been fed by birds, which were not supposed to feed him. Went to a widow woman, and she fed him meal that should have ran out, but didn't. He had seen it not rain for the past 3 years. He had seen the hand of God work in his life. And now he believes that God once again can do a miracle. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 22, it says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. You know, many times, I believe that we get afraid to pray. And we don't ask God specifically what we want. But we need to. God hears our
if God heard the prayer of Elijah and answered his quest, I guarantee that God is going to take and hear your prayer. God raised this young boy from the dead and gave him a new life. It was after this that the widow woman really believed that there was a true God, because in verse 24 it says, "And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth." Well, it was not when the barrel of oil was filled every day that she believed there was a true God. It was not when the curse of oil was filled every day that she believed there was a true God. Even though things got bad, she still didn't believe there was a God. It was when she saw with her own eyes her son raised from the dead that she believed that there was a true God. You know, moms, each of you today have been called to be a mother. Each of you have been called to raise your children in the way that God wants them to be raised. Each of you have a job to do which sometimes doesn't seem like a lot of fun, especially when you have a pile of laundry this high that needs to be washed, and the dishes are piled up on the counter. But you know what? You've been called. And you need to obey that call. When a child gets to be a certain age, is your job done? No. When a child moves out of the house, is your job done? No. In 2 Timothy 4:8, it says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all those, unto all them also that love his appearing." Mom, you need to believe that God can do anything but fail. There's going to be times in your life when things get going tough. There's going to be times in your life when you want to throw in the towel and say, you know, it's all over. It's all over. The first thing you need to know is that God loves you. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just as God raised this young boy, he also raised the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you're here today and things are going really good, but all of a sudden, you may hit a chuck hole. Are you ready for that? Maybe you need to pray for the test that God may be putting you through right now. Maybe you're saying, you know, I want to be the best mother that I can possibly be, or grandmother, for the kids that God's put into my life. This widow woman, even though she was by herself, raising a son, I believe she did a good job. She didn't have an easy life, but yet, you know what? She did the best job she could. And I believe that's all God wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your love. I just pray, Lord, that you might be with the mothers who are here today. We've got many mothers, Lord, that may be raising children by themselves. We've got mothers that are trying to make ends meet. Many mothers work out and also have to take and work at home. I just pray for them, Lord. I pray that you take and be with them. The most important thing, though, Father, is that they know you as their personal Savior. every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here today. And you're saying, preacher, I want to be the best mother that I can be for the kids that God has raised, has given me to raise. Would you pray for me that I might be that mother? I just want to pray for you. Did anyone like that? Just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Yes, I see those hands. God bless you. Yes, God bless you.